I'm giving a message that I actually gave a few years ago, but the topic has really been on my heart the last little while, and I think it's worth repeating. So if you remember everything that I said when I talked about Ebenezer, you're excused. Okay. First of all, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 7. And this is from the New King James Version I'm reading. Then the men of Kirjath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, "We've sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Verse 12 in this passage marks a significant event, a memorial of God's care and protection. Ebenezer is the word that was used, and the King James Version says, "Hitherto has the Lord helped us." Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Thus far, in the New King James, thus far the Lord has helped us. This story takes place directly after the time of the judges, when Israel was ruled for a period of likely about 350 years by 13 people in succession over various parts of the nation. The book of Judges records the story of Gideon and various others who had been placed in authority, one of the best known stories in Judges, and a tragic one is the story of Samson. After this time of the judges, God raised up Samuel to be a priest over the nation of Israel. It was under Samuel's leadership that the events we read of in chapter 7 occurred. The time was about 1140 BC. Going all the way back to Genesis, there had been ongoing battles between the Philistines and the nation of Israel. In recent battles, the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, which to the children of Israel represented the presence of God. The Philistines were a religious people. They worshiped various gods, including an idol called Dagon. They placed the Ark of God in Dagon's temple and soon discovered that their statue god was fallen and broken. Through a series of events where God's power was displayed against the captors of the Ark, the time came when it was returned to God's people. First, it resided in the house of Abinadab. After 20 years, Samuel called for a time of repentance. He told the children of Israel to stop worshiping false idols, to renew their devotion to the Lord God. The people heartily participated in this corporate act of worship. The Philistines, when they heard of Israel's national revival, prepared for battle. The enemy was quickly and fully defeated by the hand of God. Then Samuel called the people together to commemorate God's goodness. He set up the stone, called it Ebenezer. The place called Ebenezer, in fact, existed before. In the fourth chapter of 1 Samuel, it was a place where Israel was soundly defeated by the Philistines. Eli had been the priest, and by the end of the chapter, we read of his death following the death of his two sons. There's another interesting name that's a part of that story, and that name, anybody know what that was? Ichabod. Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed from Israel. The difference between the current victory and the previous defeat was their reliance upon God rather than upon their own strength. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Sentiment was reflected over 300 years later when Hezekiah, king of Judah at the time, encouraged the people in conflict with another country. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitudes that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. If we study Bible history, we see clearly and sadly that the children of Israel did not remain fully committed to the Lord as they were at Ebenezer. Through Samuel's lifetime, there was peace, but the history of the kings of Israel and Judah speaks often of a fading commitment to God and subsequent troubles for the people through such things as wars and famines. So how does this story of Ebenezer relate to us? These are some words Charles Spurgeon wrote. The word hitherto seems like a hand pointing in the direction of the past. 20 years or 70, and yet hitherto the Lord hath helped. Through poverty, through wealth, through sickness, in dishonor, in perplexity, in joy, in trial, in triumph, in prayer, in temptation, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We delight to look down a long avenue of trees. We gaze from end to end of the long vista with its branching pillars and its arches of leaves. Even so, we look down long aisles of years at the green boughs of mercy overhead and the strong pillars of loving kindness and faithfulness which bear up your joys. But the word also points forward. For when a man gets a certain mark and writes hitherto, to a certain mark and writes hitherto, he is not yet at the end. There's still a distance to travel. More trials, more joys, more temptations, more triumphs, more prayers, more answers, more toils, more strength, more fights, more victories. And then comes sickness, old age, disease, death. Is it over now? No. There is more yet. Awakening in Jesus' likeness. Thrones, harps, songs, psalms, white garments, the face of Jesus, the glory of God, the fullness of eternity, the infinity of bliss. When read in heaven's light, how glorious and marvelous will be your hitherto as it unfolds before your grateful eyes. The idea of remembering the past may on the surface seem to be in conflict with some other scriptures. Luke 9:62 says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." In Philippians chapter 3, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." These passages, though, talk about the work that we have to do. We cannot relive the past, nor should we. But can we learn from the past? Sir Winston Churchill's very famous quote, "Those who cannot learn from history are doomed to repeat it." As believers, we do need to focus on the goal ahead. Remembering from Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. For the past, we can recall how the Lord has helped us. In every one of us, we can think of situations where the Lord has been there, even in the most difficult times, even in our pain, even in our loss. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. For the present, we hear the voice of Jesus saying, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And for the future, there are Paul's words recorded in the Philippians, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." David in the 139th Psalm said that we cannot flee from God's presence. "If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." And then that wonderful passage that I know I often like to quote from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." That idea of Ebenezer was a part of a song written in 1757 by Robert Robinson, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And we do have it in our hymnal, but this is the original text that I'm going to read. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Sorrowing I shall be in spirit till released from flesh and sin, yet from what I do inherit, hear thy praises, I'll begin. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arise at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. How his kindness yet pursued me, mortal tongue can never tell. Clothed in flesh till death shall loose me, I cannot proclaim it well. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Oh, that day when freed from sinning I shall see thy lovely face, clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. We need to experience and give thanks for the grace of God in our lives on a daily basis, as I read, oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. We celebrate his goodness, his grace that we've seen in our experience, even or perhaps especially in our times of difficulty. And Joe, I know, it's been a really hard time, but I know that you have sensed the Lord's embrace in so many ways. We celebrate his goodness. God's grace is like water. It flows to your lowest point. From Titus, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And this is from the Creation Science Saskatchewan prayer calendar from a few years ago. And it was for the end of December. It says, as corruption and scandal become even more exposed. And this was 2018, okay, 2018. So think about today. As corruption and scandal become even more exposed in Western society, pray that a great revival would sweep across our land, beginning within the church to prepare for a great harvest of souls as we approach the end of our age. Let me suggest that you spend some time over the next few days meditating on the grace of God. May there be an Ebenezer moment for you when you can say, hitherto has the Lord helped us.